Relating still to that issue, did you see a lot of women working outside of a household, or was it considered not the right thing to do, that they should be at home raising their children? That's what they were, you know, put here for, basically. Was it considered a shocking thing if someone worked outside the home, or was it becoming more accepted?
Well, my mother, as far back as I could remember, always worked outside the home. And I would say that women were beginning to become involved in the workforce, and I think this probably relates back to World War II, when many of the men were overseas or in the military, and so this kind of opened the door for women to go into the workforce because they were needed, and so therefore it was socially accepted for them to go out into the workforce. And I think that many women never really went back to that home life and home style. It was very normal for women to be in the home. There were not a lot of leadership positions that I saw women doing. They were mainly clerks or some menial type labor. I don't remember any woman that I would have known as a child that was truly in a leadership position, except, you know, maybe in my eyes it might be a school teacher, but all of the power positions within the school system were occupied by men. But I don't remember a woman ever managing anything or being in charge of anything when I was a child growing up.
When you were growing up, as far as like the ideals, were there children, what were, like as a child, what would be something that perhaps if you were a child that didn't have and one that did, I mean, what are those types of things that people would strive to get? Like today it would be a better car, you know, a fancier car. Were there any things that were just considered like the must-haves that people just really talked about and, you know, were just all excited and everybody thought everybody should have one?
Well, I think the car has always been, to a lot of people, their social extension of themselves. And I can remember as a child growing up that it was very common to get a new car every 2 or 3 years, and you were closely identified by your neighbors as to whether your car was new or not. Back then, it was much easier for everyone to know whether you were driving a new car or an old car, because there were very few cars that were manufactured. You know, you had Ford Motor Company, and you had General Motors, and you had Chrysler, and they basically had, you know, 2 or 3 cars that they produced, and they changed the style on the cars that they produced each year, which made it easy for your neighbors to identify whether you were driving a new car or an old car. I guess the biggest social or the biggest status symbol that I can recall of people wanting when I was a child growing up was a television. And I can remember we were one of the first families in the community that I lived in, which was a little village out in the country, to have a television set. And the neighbors would come over and sit and watch television with us. And that was really an accomplishment or an achievement for the family to have a television. You look at a lot of the normal things that people are involved in today, which was not really a part of my growing up years, such as eating out. I would doubt that I went to a restaurant to eat out 10 times before I was 16 years of age. And for us as a family to go on vacation, we would only be gone for maybe 2 days or 3 days when we went on vacation. And it wasn't any of those extended times to the beach and a lot of other things that you would have witnessed in Leave It to Beaver. That just was not the lifestyle that we had.
Okay. Now I'd like to, I guess, jump forward a little bit here and just talk to you a little bit. And you hear a lot about people talking about when JFK was assassinated. And I was just going to ask if you remembered where you were when that happened and if you really remember that.
I remember very clearly, and I think that that has been a topic of conversation over the years, that a lot of people recall where they were when they heard the information. And I was, it was like a day or two below before Thanksgiving, and I was a freshman at Middle Georgia College, which would have been November of 1963. And I can recall people running through the dormitory shouting that John F. Kennedy had been assassinated, and then turning on the radio and hearing a little while later that he had in fact died.
Did it affect you in any ways personally or perhaps even financially throughout that time? I know it was very short. I know that Lyndon B. Johnson directly came in after Kennedy, but was there like a panic that you could feel among the people or just more of a remorseful sorriness?
Well, I don't think it really affected me at all or anyone that I knew at all. Being a freshman in college, I think it was a very impressionable time, and we were all caught up within the emotion of it, but it was not really anything that dramatically affected me outside of the fact of just being saddened, because I think that JFK was a role model to a lot of young people by his youth when he was elected president. But the country just seemed to roll right on along after it, and Lyndon Johnson came in and was president, and to me it all settled down very shortly thereafter.
Okay. What are your views as to the tension and the riots due to the black issue and also with Martin Luther King's assassination? As you watch film viewage now, you see how racially, things were just very tension-filled with amongst the people, and I was just wondering if you experienced any of the...
Oh, well, I think that definitely the black race was an underclass in the South. I feel that very few blacks were given an equal opportunity to achieve in the economic arena of the South. The only prosperous black people that I would have known when I was growing up would have been the local mortician, who was probably the richest black person, but all of his business was handling the grave services and the funeral services of other black people within the county. I think there was a tremendous amount of tension that erupted during this period of time. I felt that many black people, and rightfully so, were discriminated against and were not given an equal opportunity. And I think it was just a matter of time before all of these emotions erupted. Now, I, as a young person growing up, I don't have a lot of memories in a small town in South Georgia of Martin Luther King. I think that he was more widely publicized in maybe more urban larger areas where there was more access to information. We didn't take any daily newspaper, and the only weekly newspaper we took was just a little county newspaper that was in the little town that maybe had a circulation of 5,000 people, and it didn't cover any national or international news, and I really don't recall as a child watching the news on television at night, and what recollection I would have of watching anything on TV is that certainly it was not as sophisticated or informed as, you know, mass media and the airways are today.
I would also like to ask you about, how do you feel about when the Americans landed on the moon? I know you might remember when the Russians and the launching of Sputnik, but was that an exciting time, little boy?
Well, I'm not quite that old when the Russians landed on the moon. I was in Heidelberg, Germany when that occurred, and I can recall that Gabe, my wife, and myself went over to our commanding officer's house, and we watched the landing on the moon on television. I was in the military at that time, and I think it was a time of immense pride and satisfaction, because I think that a lot of the competition we had with the Russians was perceived as military competition. And I was in the military, and I felt very proud at that time. Again, when we were overseas, we really didn't have a lot of access to American information, because the only newspaper we took was the Stars and Stripes, and much of it was screened and homogenized to, I think, maybe present the view that the military and the government wanted us to have. There was no such thing as USA Today when I was in the military.
In 1965, we start the bombing of North Vietnam, and the Americanization of the war is just beginning. And with that, you hear so much about the Vietnam War, and I'm sure that's mostly what affected most of your life throughout this period, or I would think, with all friends being drafted. How did the Vietnam War affect your life, perhaps the fear of being drafted if you were pushed into military service, and perhaps some of your friends going off to war, what kind of effects it had on them if they came back or if they went, or any effects they had with your relationships with fellow friends?
Well, in 1965, I was at the University of Georgia, and the common talk among the students in school was the fear of being drafted and going to Vietnam, and there was a lot of effort to get into ROTC programs in order to try to become an officer if you had to go into the Army, or to get into reserve units to avoid being drafted. I did not get into the ROTC or reserve unit, and I was given a student deferment conditional upon remaining in school. As soon as I graduated from the University of Georgia, then I was reclassified to 1A, which meant that you were eligible for the draft, and the odds were very great that you would be in the military in a very short period of time. Upon graduation, I looked at the options, and everyone that I knew, most of them were being drafted or were joining the military. I looked at the various options that were available and decided that I thought my best chance was to try to go through officer candidate school and to enter the military that way. And